This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. The Capitol Rotunda is crowded with lawmakers, invited guests, celebrities, and friends and family of Donald Trump as he is sworn in for a second time. Earlier today, President Biden and the First Lady invited the Trumps back to the White House. And later today, President Trump says he will sign dozens of executive actions.
I spoke to President-elect Donald Trump by phone this weekend, and he made it very clear he wants to move very quickly on these executive orders just within hours of taking the oath of office. President-elect Donald Trump is expected to sign many of them right here in the Capitol One Arena, which will take the place of that traditional inaugural parade that typically goes down Pennsylvania Avenue.
That's ABC senior congressional correspondent Rachel Scott in Washington. Before leaving office, President Biden preemptively pardoned Dr. Anthony Fauci, former Joint Chiefs of Staff Chair General Mark Milley, and those who served on the January 6th subcommittee. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A Wisconsin child has died from the flu. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Health officials say they live in the northern part of the state. Officials from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services say the flu has been deadly here every year over the last two decades. Respiratory disease epidemiologist Tom Haupt.
Children under five are at higher risk for complications from influenza and RSV, for that matter, and COVID, just because of their age. But also pediatric hospitalizations, if they have any kind of underlying illnesses, whether it's diabetes, asthma, anything that would lower their immune system does increase their possibility of having complications from these particular viruses.
On average, 1 to 6 Wisconsin kids succumb to the illness each year. Depending on the strain, 5 to 20% of people can get the flu each year, according to the American Lung Association. And now there's another complication, one that has grown since the start of the pandemic, vaccine hesitancy. Fewer and fewer people are getting their flu shot each year.
We're running at 31% statewide right now, which is disappointing. It's a little bit lower than last year, but it continues that decline. It's frustrating because we want to get this message out to people as to the complications and what can happen if the person who is at high risk does come down with complications. Unfortunately, we have this pediatric death.
Haupt says we're approaching the peak of illness season between flu, COVID-19, and respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV. When it comes to the COVID-19 vaccine, only 16% of eligible Wisconsinites have an updated shot. Meanwhile, 22% of people above 60 have their RSV vaccine. To find a vaccine near you, you can call your doctor's office, your local pharmacy, or your local health department. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The national championship tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football's championship game is tonight in Atlanta. Ohio State against Notre Dame inside the Atlanta Falcons Mercedes-Benz Dome. It's the first time in 12 years the Fighting Irish have played in the championship. The Buckeyes were there in 2020. Notre Dame, 8.5-point underdogs. Kickoff on ESPN at 6:30. The Wisconsin Badgers say freshman defensive back Xavier Lucas signed a 2-year NIL agreement early last December to remain with the Badgers for another 2 more years. Lucas has since moved on to the Miami Hurricanes, has hired lawyers to fight the dispute. NBA, the Bucks beat the 76ers, 123-109. So how did the Bucks go from a 1-6 start to the season to now winning 4 in a row?
For us, you know, at times we were focused, at times we wasn't focused. But overall, we played a good game. It doesn't matter. Won the game, you know. Now it's 4 in a row. Thank you, Mr. Dan. It doesn't matter. We won the game.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With high temperatures barely climbing above zero and winds whipping out of the northwest, it's creating dangerous wind chills. Where highs today are really feeling more like 25 below. A cold weather advisory is in effect now and switches to an extreme cold warning overnight tonight. We're to be feeling 40 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's zero at our studios.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jack Smith's report. Maggie, prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't.
There's an old saying, if you shoot at the king, don't miss. If it's someone who's really powerful or really rich, I gotta be absolutely certain I can prove every charge beyond a reasonable doubt. When it's people that don't have means, then it's I'll throw every conceivable charge at you.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
Dom Salvia.
Jess P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, it's Inauguration Day. Tune in to hear some historical context and perspective from our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live here at our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, if you were looking for ways to help support folks impacted by those wildfires in Southern California, go to our website, civicmedia.us. There's a banner at the very top, and that will click on that. That will take you to Convoy of Hope, which is a nonprofit helping provide immediate relief to people in need. Those areas of Southern California have just been destroyed. So if you would like a way to help with legitimate charities, go to civicmedia.us and click on the banner at the very top if you would like to help. Very excited to have our next guest back. It has been months and months and months. David Drake is here from UW-Madison. He is a wildlife management expert, among many, many other things, expert on urban wildlife management, wildlife damage management, and general wildlife. How are you, David? Good to see you.
I am good. I thought I was going to have a walk-on song.
This is the intro for the show.
Kind of switch is this?
Now he's gonna leave.
Don't worry. For the next segment, we'll play the birds.
All right.
Perfect. Yeah, sure.
I'm good. Thank you very much. It's nice to see all of you.
Good to have you.
Thanks for having me back.
Good
on.
To have you back. One of the reasons, and there's lots of things that we're gonna talk to you about today, but I follow someone on Blue Sky, David, who has a pet chinchilla named Stella. And Stella's adorable. She's just this big, fluffy. She's like a different version of a bunny. But I started wondering about what it's like to own what would be considered a non-traditional pet. Because there are a lot of different things you have to keep in mind if you're going to do something like that. And so I started up looking. I started looking up fun chinchilla facts. And among some of the fun facts about chinchillas is that they eliminate 200 times a day. 200.
That's a reason right there not to have a chinchilla.
Well, I mean, for one thing, can animals like that be domesticated to the point where you can train them to use a litter box?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think, and what we're talking about is a pet trade that is possibly legal. I mean, there are a lot of legal pet trades out there where people are raising animals, non-traditional pets,
right,
you know, what you would consider wildlife. They raise them in captivity. They are properly licensed. They have a captive breeding situation, so they're not actually bringing animals in from the wild. They've got generations of captive breeding, and they probably do this, I'm hoping, with proper husbandry and
right,
ethics and welfare of the animal first and foremost in mind, and all of that kind of stuff. But there is a healthy pet trade, wildlife pet trade, online and worldwide, and that's where you will get people who have, pet raccoons and skunks and all these other things that probably you shouldn't have. And then that also breeds, an illegal pet trade, and it's difficult sometimes to determine is this illegal or legal, but there's a lot of poaching where they are actually taking animals out of the wild and selling it on the pet market. And the person who's buying that pet may or may not, or buying that wildlife may or may not know that it's legal or illegal, and they may or may not care depending
right.
on what's going on. So, and it is an issue. It is, especially for species that are either rare or endangered. They're limited in numbers in the wild. If you start pulling individuals out of that wild population that's already in jeopardy from sustainability and a sustainability issue, that is. It's improper. It's unethical. I do wonder about what kind of a human being you are if you're starting to do something like that.
Yep.
Especially for money, which is crazy. But yes, there are a lot of people who have pets that are traditional wildlife. We would consider wildlife, but are non-traditional pets. And I used to live in Middleton, which is a suburb of Madison, and I saw somebody walking a fox. One day. And so there's, that you've got people who have pet foxes and all sorts of different things out there. That's one thing. And maybe if you'd give me a little liberty to just kind of segue a tad bit.
Sure.
Even though we're in the coldest weather we've had in a number of years, spring is going to be upon us here pretty quickly. And there are a lot of well-meaning people who find animals, especially young, when the young start getting born in the spring, be it birds or mammals or whatever the case is, there are a lot of well-intentioned people who find young in their yard and they want to quote unquote save the
right.
young. So
right.
they'll pick them out of a nest if they find a nest full of rabbits in their backyard, and they'll call a wildlife rehabilitation center and things like that. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has a very active campaign called Keep Wildlife Wild. And they've got extremely good, very clear guidance on when an animal is orphaned, truly orphaned, and truly does need some help or assistance, human assistance, versus when an animal is just part of nature and you should let that animal be. So again, this kind of somewhat parallel with the people who may have untraditional pets, but there are people who, especially in urban areas, we've moved away from looking at wildlife as utilitarian or kind of having dominion over wildlife to more of looking at animals as individuals and more concerning about the welfare of those animals.
Right.
And again, especially, people who are finding young animals in their yards, they are generally well-intentioned, want the best for that animal.
Yes.
But I would encourage people to go and Google Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, Keep Wildlife Wild, and closely follow those guidelines.
It happens a lot with bunnies because, and we find a nest full of, we find a nest of bunnies every spring. And as you said, David, you think that she's abandoned them. But from what I've read, because I did some research on this, and my husband's like, they're all alone. It's like, no, I think they're fine. And the one thing about bunnies in particular, at least in our yard, is that she will put the nest in the middle of the yard. And
yeah.
I thought, that's a really stupid move, bunny. And it turns out, though, that they do that because other predators don't want to expose themselves in the open.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I never thought about that. So she's putting them out in the open as a deterrent to other predators.
Yeah. Yeah. And they'll have rabbits don't dig. I mean, they've got small little peg front legs, so they don't have strong front legs and they're not traditional diggers like a groundhog would be or a chipmunk or something like that. But in organic, more loose type soil, they can move that soil away and create a little depression. Or if there's a natural depression in the yard, or they'll also use abandoned nests of skunks and things like that. But they'll birth their young in that depression, and it's kind of a grass line depression, and they'll put grass on top of it mm-hmm. to camouflage the rabbits. And as you mentioned, the mother, she will come back in the early morning, in the evening, and nurse the rabbits. But most of the day, they're on their own, and that's the way it's meant to be. Is that they're there, they are sleeping, they're quiet, they're camouflaged, and that's the way that she comes rarely to the nest so that she doesn't draw attention to predators at the nest. And And that's the way it should be. So the other thing we should quickly mention is, again, for people who are well-intentioned, it is illegal to keep wildlife, a free-ranging species of wildlife. It is illegal to keep wildlife contained in your yard or in your house without a permit from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And depending on the species of wildlife, if let's say it's a robin, robins are considered migratory birds. And so not only would you need a permit from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, you would also need a permit from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the federal wildlife agency. However, if you do, if wildlife truly do need human assistance and you are going to bring that animal to a licensed wildlife rehabilitator or rehabilitation center, you do legally, you can keep the wildlife, that animal for 24 hours before transporting it to your, so if you get it in the, you know, in the evening.
In the middle of the night or something, sure.
Yeah, and you can bring it the next day. But otherwise, keeping for more than 24 hours, it is illegal to do so without proper permitting.
Well, and if you're just joining us, David Drake is our guest. He's with UW Madison. He's a wildlife management expert. And we're talking about people who keep non-traditional pets and some of the pluses and many, many, many negatives. I agree with you. I believe most people are very well-intentioned, especially if they see an animal that they believe has been abandoned.
Yeah.
But sometimes, for one thing, before you grab them and move them, look it up. You know, just do a Google search, check with the Wisconsin DNR to find out what you should do. And you make a real good point again, just about the rabbits. If she is checking on those bunnies three times a day during the middle of the day, that's just a great signal for the hawk that's hanging around going, well, now I know where the nest is. Yeah. So I'll come back when she's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Or a lot of times, especially in people's yards in suburban and urban areas, it's your house cat or your pet dog that finds that nest. And so, because it's in the yard of that domestic animal. So yeah, she, you know, nature's got this figured out. We just need to let nature alone and let nature run its course.
And that's how I feel. Like I'm not trying to bring in any other animals into my house, like other than a dog or a cat, period. That's it. I used to think maybe I wanted a snake. Then I turned 17. I'm like, no, thank you. But I also feel like, you know, David, you might be able to talk about this too, as well as now in the world of social media, people want clicks and likes, and there's nothing cuter than someone, you know, rescuing a squirrel.
Yes.
And to me, mm-hmm. I'm like, that's very nice, but there are places that can do that.
Yeah.
And at some point, the squirrel's brain is going to take over that has its, you know, evolutionary
instinct
patterns.
Instinct will win.
And it's not going to be a loving pet.
No. It's not. I'm a huge Seinfeld fan, and that was one of the greatest episodes of Seinfeld when George ran over the squirrel, and they had to order small, very expensive micro tools from Germany, and then George had to take care of the squirrel. It is an awesome episode, so check it out.
But think twice before you decide to do this, and
for sure,
there are agencies that handle these kinds of situations that might be better prepped for this than you.
Yeah, and I know we're up against a break here really quick, but the other thing maybe we can talk about now, but also if we want to after the break. But, you know, animals also carry a lot of different diseases, especially raccoons, for example.
Yep.
And so not only when you bring those animals to your house or you expose yourself to those animals, you're exposing yourself and your family and your pets to disease. You're possibly going to get scratched or bitten as you're trying to handle the animal. And so there are some negative consequences that come with this as well.
David Drake is our guest. When we return, we're talking about cave bats. I'm very excited. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Badger fans, the temperatures may be dropping, but the Big Ten action at the Kohl Center is just heating up. This winter, we've got an action-packed schedule of Badger men's and women's basketball and men's hockey games right here at home. Gather your friends and family, secure your seats, and create lasting memories with us at the Kohl Center. For the full Badger schedule and to purchase your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach. The Board Lord coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. By the way, you can stay up to date with all the latest news in Wisconsin. Just subscribe to the Civic Media Digest. Go to civicmedia.us/email. You'll get top podcast hours of your favorite civic media programs. We assume it's one of we're one of them.
I mean, it's going to be great if it's us, right?
News and commentary from the Civic Media News team, and learn what is going on across the entire statewide network. It comes right to your inbox every week, and our news team does a great job. So check it out, civicmedia.us/email, and subscribe to the Civic Media Digest. Right now, we're joined by David Drake. He's the UW-Madison expert on urban wildlife management, wildlife damage management, general wildlife. It's been a few months since we've had a chance to talk to David about all things critter-related. And before we went to the break, we were talking about people keeping non-traditional pets like squirrels and chinchillas and things
raccoons.
Like raccoons, and probably not a great idea if you're considering that. The other thing I saw about chinchillas, David, was not only do they eliminate 200 times a day, but in some of the community notes that came up, it's like, yeah, you can teach them to use a litter box, but when they're playing, it's going to go everywhere anyway. So that might be a minor deterrent.
I know way too much about chinchillas.
You never know what you will learn on this program. That's why it's a surprise every single day. David, we were going to talk a little bit about cave bats in Wisconsin, and bats are a really crucial part of our ecosystem.
Yeah, they sure are. We have got 8 bat species in the state of Wisconsin. So 4 of them migrate out of our area and 4 of them hibernate for the winter. So bats are insectivores. They eat insects. And because in the wintertime, those insects are not available in the abundance that they are in the summertime, bats have to either decide, am I going to sleep through the winter, or am I going to fly out of here and go someplace where the food source is available year-round? And so, like I said, half the bat species migrate, follow the food source south, where it's available throughout the winter. The other half of the bat species we have migrate and will sleep, hibernate and sleep their way through the winter. Those 4 species, which is the tricolored bat, the northern long-eared bat, the little brown bat, and the big brown bat, those are the 4 species that we consider state species. So they hibernate through the winter. Because they hibernate in caves and hibernaculums, those 4 species are susceptible to this fungal disease called white-nose syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
in the state since about 2016, 2017, something like that. It started out, it was found first in a cave outside of Albany, New York, and it's quickly spread across the United States. But species that hibernate, the bat species that hibernate, are susceptible to that because that fungal disease, that fungus, actually lives and grows in the caves, the same cave and hibernacle areas where the bats hibernate. And so those bat species that are hibernatory are declining in numbers because of partly the white nose syndrome. Bats also get killed in a whole bunch of different other ways. So there's other diseases that kill them. Predators eat them. They also get killed by wind turbines much more than birds do. And so the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources just ended a public comment period last week on January 15th. But they're considering a broad, what's called incidental take. So the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources right now, the need to sustain these cave bat populations, but also societal needs in terms of the wind energy and the renewable energy that we have in our state of Wisconsin.
Sure.
We've got close to 500 wind turbines throughout the state of Wisconsin. And so what the DNR is trying to do is balance those societal needs with the needs of these bat species. And so what they're considering is that there's an incidental take is not a new thing, but it's most commonly thought of through the Endangered Species Act at the federal level. But states have endangered species as well and also can enact an incidental take. So I know we're getting into the weeds here. I'll pull us out of the weeds here in just a second.
Okay.
But the idea behind the incidental take is that some mortality of an endangered species is allowed as long as the intent of the lethality of the killing that species, that's not the purpose of it. If you're running a wind farm and it just so happens that you kill a bat, you're not running a wind farm to kill bats.
You're running the wind farm. Yeah. Right.
So what the DNR is trying to do is find balance there. And so what they're trying to do is allow some mortality through wind farms, but also requiring wind farms to enact conservation measures. Like, for example, research has suggested that on nights when maybe there's a lot of bat activity or a lot of bat migration, for example, that perhaps you turn the wind turbines off so the blades don't spin. And that might be, you know, for a week out of the year, for example. Or the other thing is on low wind nights, bats tend to get killed more than they do on high wind nights. And it's thought that the bats are feeding on insects around the turbines because the insects are not getting blown out of the turbine area because the wind isn't strong enough.
Sure.
So on low wind nights, maybe they curtail or stop the spinning of the blades, for example. So those are just some things that they're thinking about.
With that little bit of time that we have left, David, I'm sure there are some people listening going, so what? Kill the bats. I hate bats.
Yeah.
But every piece in our ecosystem is important for a reason.
Yep. Yep. All these bats are native to the state of Wisconsin. They belong here. They were here before we were, as human beings, likely. They eat a lot of insects. They provide a tremendous amount of ecological services that benefit us as human beings, in addition to benefiting just nature in general. Bats are very, very good, and the benefits of bats far outweigh any of the negative consequences.
And
bats.
I'm curious too, who predates on bats? Who's eating bats?
Who's eating bats?
Far as other creatures. I didn't know they had any. I didn't think they had a lot of predators.
Yeah, domestic cats will, for example. Other mammals will. So, you know, raccoons will eat them. Things like that. If they can catch them. Some bird species will eat them as well. So, yeah, they've got some predators out there.
Keep your cats in the house.
Most likely,
I'm sorry. Keep your cats in the house. They kill so 100%. Many songbirds. Yep. It's terrible.
And mammals, and it's healthier for the cat to be indoors than outdoors.
David Drake is with UW Madison. Always love having you on the show, David. Thank you so very, very much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was great seeing both of you, and I will look forward to hearing from you again.
Sounds great. News coming up next when we return. No buy in 25. What are you avoiding as we go forward this year? Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the statewide, countrywide. Yeah, baby, we're global on the app. Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Wisconsin is experiencing the most bitterly cold temperatures of the season. Dr. Cheryl Bednow with the State Department of Health Services. Cheryl, you'll need to watch out for frostbite and hypothermia. Frostbite is for the freezing of the skin and deeper tissue. Hypothermia is where our bodies aren't able to keep as warm as we can in colder temperatures. Bednow says people need to layer up, limit their time outdoors, and make sure they're staying hydrated. Following bitter cold and dangerous wind chills today and Tuesday, temperatures are expected to moderate starting Wednesday. With the dangerous cold spilling into the state this week, it's important to keep an eye on pipes to make sure they don't burst. One mistake people make is not having the heat on high enough in your house. The thermostat needs to be set to at least the mid-60s, even when you're not home. Crews during the past cold snap were running at full capacity with pipes already breaking, so it's important to be prepared. Close gaps around doors and windows. Don't let drafts in. Experts suggest pipe insulation or foam, and let small drops of water drip from your faucet. It helps reduce pressure and help prevent freezing pipes. If you do wind up with a frozen pipe, shut the water off and thaw it out. Space heaters are efficient, but it's important to use them safely and make sure they are monitored and away from flammable materials. The Department of Health Services is launching a new digital campaign to highlight the risk of menthol tobacco products. DHS says menthol remains widely in use, with sales increasing over the last decade. In Wisconsin, 9,300 young people under age 18 will try cigarettes for the first time every year and half start with menthol.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Hollywood is still mourning the loss of director David Lynch. Tributes have inundated social media the last several days for the Oscar-nominated creative force behind Eraserhead, Blue Velvet, Lost Highway, The Elephant Man, and The Straight Story. Lynch's colleagues are also paying tribute. Sopranos creator David Chase says no one who creates a long-form drama on TV was not influenced by Lynch's iconic Twin Peaks. Lynch was a one-time Wisconsin resident and passed away last Thursday at the age of 78. Speaking of Lynch, actor Kyle MacLachlan says he owes his entire career to David Lynch. The director cast the now 65-year-old actor in Blue Velvet and also made him the lead actor in Twin Peaks. MacLachlan called David Lynch the most authentically alive person he's ever known. That is some serious praise. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With high temperatures barely climbing above zero and winds whipping out of the northwest, it's creating dangerous wind chills. Where highs today are really feeling more like 25 below. A cold weather advisory is in effect now and switches to an extreme cold warning overnight tonight. We're to be feeling 40 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's zero at our studios.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood for kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
How will the incoming presidential administration impact you? We'll discuss with Sandy Williams following Monday's inauguration on Donald Trump.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Can't buy me love, love.
good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Coming up at the end of the show, we'll wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the Not Dead Yet edition. And if you ever find something you think should not be, and there's going to be a lot of things over the next 4 years that could probably qualify under that umbrella, we try to do a little more lighthearted things to wrap
2025 is a year.
Is a year of this tisbets. Yes. If you ever find a thing that is on the lighter side of things that should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. The same goes if you have a guest you think would be great, if there's some issue in your community that you really think needs highlighting. Mm-hmm. And I think this is going to be more and more important as our news outlets continue to close and crumble. Look at what just happened in Western Wisconsin with the TV stations out there.
And also, let's not close, crumble, and capitulate.
And capitulate that, too. So, yeah, Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. Let us know what's going on in your town and what you think needs some more light on it. Right now.
Yeah.
From USA Today, Greta Cross is the author. It reads, do you have a no-buy list for 2025? One creator said it helped her pay off $34,000 in debt. 35-year-old Alicia Berman first tried the no-buy challenge in 2024. She says it helped her, again, pay off $34,000 in credit card debt over the course of the year. She's going to continue the challenge this year. She says her goal is to pay off the remainder of her debt that she thinks she can be wrapped up by June.
That's great.
And then she's going to start putting money away. So what is she, what is her on, what is on her no buy list?
Yeah.
For 2025? No new clothes.
Okay.
Beauty products.
Oh boy.
Perfume.
Wow.
Jewelry.
Okay.
Technology.
Yeah.
Books.
Okay.
And home decor.
Okay.
She also says she plans to only order takeout once a month, and she's going to cancel her Pilates classes. So she's very serious about this.
I mean, yeah. I mean, those are all that. That's a great thing. I mean, that's a great list to start from. That to me says, and this is not a judgment on her specifically, where the priorities on her money went. Because I mean, some people have, you know, they can say no to fast food, no to video games, no to every streaming service that's available. That kind of thing. I think this is good stuff. I think it's a very smart way of looking at your money and setting goals for yourself. I'm very big on this matter. Like for me and myself, when I was in 2008, I decided I was going to get my finances somewhat in order.
Right.
And I went to a seminar at my credit union and they ran your credit score beforehand. You got it. And my credit score was in the 520s. Yes.
Ouch.
Some very big mistakes I made in my 20s and ever since I got credit cards. But since 2008, I've worked to pay off debts, school loans, credit cards, car loans, and also repair my credit.
What did you skip in order to give you the money to pay some of that stuff off?
For the longest time, I just learned to live below my means, so I didn't eat out as much, or you know, I wouldn't go and, you know, in my 20s, I wouldn't go out drinking and partying and stuff like that.
Right.
But it really wasn't until my 40s where I started putting together plans. So like what I do personally is I saw this and it works great for me, but 15 days before my credit card is due, I make a payment. 3 days before my credit card is due, I make a payment. You can break up your payments, make the same amount. It doesn't affect your bank account as much. You might get paid twice in that time. Also helps with your credit score.
Right.
I do this thing. I have three different ways of saving up money that aren't just like, oh, I'm taking $10 a month. So I quit smoking. And now what I do is I figured out how many times I bought cigarettes in a month. And every time I would buy a pack of cigarettes, I now take that amount and I put it in a savings account.
Good for you.
At the end of the year, I'm going to take all that money and put it against my car. I also have a separate account that automatically takes money out of my bank account once a month, rounds up my purchases to the highest dollar, deposits into account, and that is my Christmas fund.
Look at that.
And then finally, this is just a fun one. Every month, every week of the year, whatever week that is in the year, you take a dollar. So beginning of the year, $1.
Yeah.
The second week, $2, $3, and you save that up over time, you're going to have hundreds of dollars. You just take that. So like somewhere in the middle of the month, middle of June, you take $26, put it into your account. It's just fun little ways of saving your money.
And you're not going to miss it.
You're not going to miss it.
But if you don't, I think too, if you don't place it somewhere.
Yes.
That's when you forget.
That's where you forget. I know that some people have, I think you spoke about it, or people will say like, I have this envelope for this.
I have a good friend who paid off her school. I mean, most of her school loan.
Yeah.
With the envelope method.
I can't do that, not because I choose not to do that. I should say that. I choose not to do that just because I don't want to have the cash in front of me. If it's in a bank account somewhere, I don't think about it. And I think biggest, when we were talking about school loans and car loans, credit cards are different just because it can be a lot.
Yeah.
But like school loans and car loans are a little more controllable in their interest rates and whatnot. But you cannot make minimum payments on those. You can't make minimum payments on your credit cards.
You'll never get anywhere.
But I think if you really want to get out of your school loan debt, you have to look at what your minimum payment is and say, all right, I have to pay $100 if I can afford it over every month. Because that's, I mean, for my last car loan I did, I paid $6 extra every single month. And within 3 years, I had hundreds of it paid off because it just never really thought about it.
And I don't think folks appreciate what those little incremental amounts can do. It's not about $100 every paycheck. It's $6 every paycheck.
Exactly.
And that extra $6, that's brilliant, Greg.
Didn't you say that you also with your mortgage, you made...
I always paid an extra $100 a month.
Yeah, we do.
Always. For years.
We do an extra $50. I want to kick that up for our mortgage, but that cuts your mortgage sometimes in half.
We paid our mortgage off. We cut 7 years off our mortgage.
And I want to...
By doing that.
Reiterate something. I am not rich.
Right.
I am not a financial expert. I just know it works for me, for my brain. I know that instead of opening some account, like some financial advisory account, what I just do is I just have my bank account. I put money away. I have a paper calendar in my garage, and I mark the days off to know when I've made my deposits.
Oh, that's really smart.
The discipline keeps me going. It keeps me excited because I can see the money growing.
Yep.
And then by the end of the year, I can walk into the bank and say, you know, pay off.
Boom.
Maybe not a quarter or a third, but a significant amount of debt. I hate having car loans or like that. This is not fun for me. That's just sitting over, especially with an interest rate, because they want you to pay that minimum.
They bank on you paying that minimum because, again, you will never get ahead of it.
No,
ever. If you can only pay the minimum.
But I'm trying to think of what my no-buy list would be now if I was to do like of course, the cigarettes, no-buy.
Which is good for you.
Yep. And I've told myself, if I do buy a pack of cigarettes, I still put money in as a way of saying, this is an incentive.
Oh, good for you.
But I would have to say this is kind of embarrassing. I think on my no-buy list would probably be like things like just getting food on the way to work, or, you know, like packing a lunch instead of going to a fast food place.
It adds up now.
Absolutely. Especially now.
It really does. Oh. I mean, what used to cost you $5 and you could get a burger and fries and a drink.
Yep.
Now it's almost 10.
Oh,
or 10? Or more.
Try 15. Yeah.
No-buy 2025.
What about you, Jane?
I will not buy anything else for our house.
What do you mean by that? Like, what is that like?
I was thinking about, I wanted to get a heated bird bath. Because they need water during the winter and it freezes and they can't drink anything. And I had looked at heated bird baths and I'm thinking, I already have 3 bird baths.
Yeah.
I could probably find just a little heater for it instead of buying a whole new bird bath with a built-in heater and the sprinkler system and all that stuff. And it's just, no, I don't need that.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. So no more house stuff.
No more house
no
stuff.
No more decorative things. Yeah. No throw pillows. No pictures for the walls. No, I don't need more tchotchkes.
You don't need more stuff.
I don't need more stuff. What is the thing you're not going to buy in 2025? Maybe it's subscriptions.
Yeah.
Because those are adding up now, too. And I forget until I look over my credit card. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's $6 a month. That's 10. That's 12. That's 15. That's 18. It adds up really, really quickly.
There are things I'm going to have to, I mean, I probably have like five buck subscriptions to various things.
Yeah.
And let's think about that. That's $30 a month times 10 is 300 times 60 is 300, almost $400 a year.
Look at you doing math.
Well, you know, I like my money. Calvin, do you have anything on your no buy list that you, or are you just flush with cash?
Well, I definitely am not flush with cash, but I also impulsively buy things. So I guess what I will say is that I need to finish my backlog of things before I buy more. I currently have a physical to be read shelf of 25 books. So I need to read those before I buy more. And I have a bunch of unpainted miniatures that I need to paint before I buy more.
Before you get more.
As well.
That's what I did with Legos. I was buying those sets. I have probably about 20. I don't buy them anymore. I'm giving them as gifts and that's fine. That's very nice. But I don't build them much anymore. I don't have time and space. So I have literally all these boxes I think I'm going to take to a secondhand place and be like, here, just give me the value. Because I don't want to just it's like the bookshelf. You're like, I'll do that later. I'll do it another time. I'll get to it.
I applaud you for reading as much as you do, Calvin. Yeah. I think that's fantastic. But I understand about buying books. And that's another thing I've been weeding through. I must have had 400 books at one point. There were more books in my house than anything. And now I renewed my library card.
Oh my gosh.
And I go to the library.
If you live in Wisconsin, Libby, my goodness gracious.
You love Libby, yeah.
You can get audiobooks, ebooks, you can rent the books online and pick them up at the library. My goodness gracious.
Rachel Holdsworth is known as the budget bestie on TikTok. And she said her no buy 2025 list includes she's getting rid of hair highlights, manicures, Starbucks, which really adds up.
Yes, it does.
Drinkware like mugs and water bottles. Makeup and hair care products. Very, very expensive.
I can only imagine.
Home decor and food delivery services like Uber Eats and DoorDash. That's something that we've never, ever used.
Yeah, I got to say, I take huge issue with those groups. Like, it's one thing to cut out the fast food. That's one expense.
Mm-hmm.
But these third parties, A, are charging you an arm and a leg for something you can get in your car and go get. And
right.
B, they're just sucking the life out of these local restaurants.
Calvin?
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely I eat out lunch every day. I try to be economical about it and get, like, small portions and cheap places.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's still $10, right?
Yeah, I mean, it probably adds up to over $50 a week.
Yep, and then just think about that. $50 a week, that's thousands of dollars.
A month.
Yep. Or a year.
A year. A year. That too. He's the math. He maths. I don't know. We're going to wrap up the show as we always do right after the break with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Not Dead Yet edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New presidents often use day one executive orders to move their policy agendas forward. What are the different kinds of presidential orders? What are their limitations? And why do presidents use them? Since John F. Kennedy, presidents have averaged 269 executive orders over their terms. Since 1907, each order receives a number and all are cataloged at the National Archives. There are three different kinds of orders, according to Dr. Bert Rockman of Purdue University. Executive orders are written orders, usually on more weighty issues such as national emergencies or setting uniform policy for government action. Written presidential memoranda authorize or freeze projects, share official positions with Congress, outline treaties in international affairs, and other policy matters. Memoranda are not required to be published or public. A third type are proclamations, such as a proclamation celebrating Juneteenth. Pardons and clemency are not executive orders, but rather a separate power granted by the Constitution. Gridlock resulting from the failure of Congress to compromise on legislation often stimulates presidents to use more executive orders as presidents struggle to move their policies forward. But executive orders can also be blocked by Congress or court review, as President Trump found out in his first term Muslim ban. Find more in the history of presidential orders at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@AmericanFoodsGroup.com.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow, our colleague here at Civic Media, Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review on Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. I highly encourage you to listen to Jim on Saturday mornings. But he's going to join us tomorrow at 10:33. Like so many things in the news cycle turns so quickly and things get lost. Mm-hmm. And so Jack Smith did come out with his final report about Donald Trump allegedly stealing classified documents and allegedly coordinating the attack on the U.S. Capitol, trying to overthrow the election. Jack Smith, this does not exonerate Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It's just essentially he could not pursue charges because once you take office, you cannot face charges. So convenient.
Brilliant program.
So Jim's going to join us to explain what was in that report from Jack Smith and who was all involved in what was essentially a coordinated effort to steal the 2020 election. The whole stop the steal.
Yeah.
In reverse. Todd Alba will be joining you right after the noon news from noon to 2. Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4. Dom Salvia 4 to 6 p.m. Pete Schwabe with Nightlight from 6 to 8. And then tomorrow morning early, Pat Kreitlow, Up North News Radio from 6 to 8. Earl Ingram right before us here from 8 to 10 a.m. And yes, at this point, Donald Trump is now the 47th president of these great United States. 11:53, Calvin, that means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And again, if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. This from Sky News. Headline reads, woman surprised after being declared dead.
I'm not dead.
Nicola Polino discovers she is registered as deceased, saying this development really, really messes up my life.
You think?
Yeah. Nicolene Polino of Maryland went to renew her driver's license. Says she was left frightened and surprised as she got a text informing her she was officially dead in the Maryland Motor Vehicle Administration online system. She told a local outlet, "It appears I am deceased. I got a little frightened, I'm not going to lie, and surprised because I am alive. I am here. Hello."
Hello.
She was then told she could not renew her driver's license before she got a letter from the IRS describing her as a deceased taxpayer.
What?
Health insurance for Paulina and her three children also got canceled, prompting a stream of medical bills and leaving her without the inhaler she needs for her asthma. Paulina says it's affected me a lot. It's affected my health, my mental health. She then got a call from Social Security, who told her this was all because of a typo, a funeral home reporting someone else as deceased. They got one number wrong in the Social Security number, and it was Paulino's SSI number.
Who is she suing?
Social Security saying its records are highly accurate. And that less than 0.33% of the more than 3 million deaths that happen annually were later corrected, which means about 10,000 reports are wrong every year. That's not nothing.
10,000
10,000.
Yeah, it used to be worse. It used to be like 50,000.
An attorney says, yeah, this happens almost on a daily basis. This is not a small thing. This is the worst impact you can have on your credit report.
That's the other thing, too, really quick, we talked about before, is like your credit report takes a while to repair.
Oh, yeah.
And in a situation like this, the credit score systems, the TransUnion, all that, they're not going to be like, oh, well, we'll just put it right back. You're probably going to start over, or
you have to earn it back.
Oh, that's unfair.
You have to earn it back. Paulino says she finally got a letter from Social Security saying the mistake had been corrected, and now she is officially alive again.
And I don't know, somewhere folded in those papers was an "I'm sorry," an "oopsie daisy," or
"no,
accept this fruit plate."
Fruit plate is appropriate in so many different circumstances.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but at least she's alive again.
Well, thank goodness.
We're glad, Nicole, you're back. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As we said, coming up on the show tomorrow, Jim Santel will be here with us at 10:33. I hope you can join us. And thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little scooch and you have the chance to share it. News is coming up next. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be here tomorrow. Hope you'll join us.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome one of Wisconsin's very own, comedian Tom Clark. Then Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and I discuss award season. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 till 8.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Donald J. Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance sworn into office at noon in Washington, D.C. Inside the Capitol Rotunda, where the inauguration was moved due to cold weather. Outside, a 21-cannon salute as supporters brave some of those temperatures. The nation's 47th president addressing both Republicans and Democrats who gathered in the rotunda.
The presidency confident and optimistic that we are at the start of a thrilling new era of national success.
President Trump also announced he would issue executive orders reversing many of the executive orders issued by the Biden administration and would declare a national emergency to deal with the southern border crisis and take steps to lower food prices and inflation and drill for oil and natural gas, saying his victory is a mandate. Outgoing President Joe Biden issued more pardons before leaving office, including for his brother Jim and his wife and his sister. This is ABC News.